Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. How can anyone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe? How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life."
Great. Richard, let me just pray for you. Father, thank you for Richard. Thank you for the word that you've impressed on his heart. And I pray that you'd give us open hearts to receive all that you have for us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Henry. Let's just see if we can get the PowerPoint up. And I'm going to take some very familiar words, but I would really like us to think of them in a way as if we'd never heard them before. So as I get older, I find that I have two spiritual gifts, the gift of clumsiness and the gift of amnesia. So I'm able to forget things that I thought I knew before. Now, sometimes when we really want to grow in our faith, we have to forget some of the things that we think we know in order to learn them in a better way. And I'm sure that if you've been around, if you go to church, if you've become a believer in Jesus, you've probably heard thousands of times the phrase, "born again." I think you had a young man here, George Verwer, last week, is that right? And he came to faith through the ministry of Billy Graham. And if you ever heard Billy Graham, you would have known that one of his most familiar phrases and sayings, "You must be born again." Please forgive my imitation. The coaches will wait, but he would say, "Come forward, you need to be born again." So for us, it's a very familiar phrase. But of course, for Nicodemus, a first century Palestinian Jew, at the time of Jesus, he didn't know what it meant. And if you think about it, he's the first person in Scripture that we know about who is really given this invitation to be born again. And certainly for me, as a Jewish disciple of Jesus, it's something that I've pondered in many ways since I've become a disciple of Jesus. By the way, thank you so much, Henry and Jane, for your welcome. It's lovely to be with you. I'm so grateful for your prayers and support as a mission associate of St. Bees. I'd love you to be able to pray for me regularly. And if you want to fill in the little form, a quick advert here, with your name and address and give it to Tony Metlis or Viv at the end of the service, please do that. And I would like to give you free a copy of my story and my wife's story. Monica is also a Jewish disciple of Jesus, and together our stories and even pictures of our kids when they were very young. And I'm now a grandfather with three young grandchildren. So you can see the pictures, my wife's story and my own story, if you fill in the form. And because of the wonderful blessing of GDPR, God's Design Plan of Redemption, we need you to fill in the form so that we can send you our monthly prayer updates and mailings. So this man, Nicodemus, comes to Jesus. And we need to think of this as a secret, confidential encounter. It doesn't take place in a stadium or in a church. It takes place privately and at night. Now, who is Nicodemus? His name tells you. Nike. Does anybody have Nike trainers? Just do it. Is that the slogan? Nike is victory. So Athena Nike, if you go to the Acropolis in Athens, you'll see the statues to Athene, the goddess of victory. Nike is victory or conquering. Nike Demos is like, democracy, which in theory we have at the moment. It's the rule of the demos, and Nikodemos is a ruler of the people. And this is who Nicodemus is. He is a leader. He is a member of the Sanhedrin. Now, we know the word cathedral, don't we? That's the seat, the hedros of a bishop. And a Sanhedrin is the seat of the Jewish ruling council, the 70 or 72 leaders of the Jewish people. And Nicodemus, we're told, is also a Pharisee. Now, many Christians have a negative understanding of Pharisees. We think of Pharisees as stiff-necked, hypocritical, and money-loving. I remember the first preacher I heard who said to me, "You know, the Jews are all stiff-necked." And I went up to him at the end of his sermon. I stuck my neck out. And I said, "Who are you calling stiff-necked?" There is a sort of stereotype, but really a better way of thinking of the Pharisees is they were the enthusiastic people. They were the typical people that come to St. Barnabas. They wanted to know more of God. They wanted to tell other people about God. They were passionate about their faith. And Nicodemus is not just passionate, but he is the head of a place for training Pharisees, training rabbis, a yeshiva. And yet he comes at night. He comes in secret. He comes in darkness. He comes in fear. He comes with embarrassment. He comes with uncertainties. He's a leader. He's been a leader all his life, but he has doubts. I think of him, I don't know if Henry and Jane, you ever feel like this, leaders get tired. And we often feel like giving up. And even though people look to us for leadership, we can get depressed. We can have all those ashes and sorrow and sicknesses that beautiful chorus was sung to us before. I just so enter into that. Here am I, I'm supposed to be a leader, but I carry all the pains of my people. I carry the burdens. Nicodemus is longing for redemption from Roman rule. He's longing for the answers to the problems of his people. He's longing for the Messiah to appear, but he's embarrassed to publicly come to Jesus. I wonder where you are in church this morning. I'm sure that we are all rejoicing and praising God, but underneath we are carrying issues and problems. And even a leader like Nicodemus is feeling embarrassed to stand in front of the people. He's certainly not ready to confess that Yeshua is the Messiah. And so in the middle of the Gospels, when they say to Nicodemus, "Are you one of these people? Are you from Galilee?" He doesn't get up and give his testimony. He keeps very quiet. And it's only towards the end of the Gospel, when he gives the money for the myrrh and the spices for the burial of Jesus, that we even recognize that he's willing to publicly associate with Jesus. And often for me, I get embarrassed. I mean, people say, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a nice Jewish boy who believes in Jesus. That gets you into all sorts of problems. But sometimes I wish I could just say, don't ask. And I wonder how you feel on a Monday morning when you turn up at work or school or in the family or whatever. And it's a bit embarrassing. And Nicodemus is like my friend here. I won't even say his name. He's an ultra-Orthodox Jewish disciple of Jesus with 8 children, 50 grandchildren, I don't know how many great-grandchildren. He's been a believer in Jesus for some 30 years. He still keeps it secret. And his family even don't all know. Now, I'm not saying any of us should do this, but I think in some cultures and some circumstances, it's actually hard to be a believer in Jesus. And I'm going to jump through this, but if you'd like the homework, I'll send it you. You can tell that I have beard issues. I'm pogonologically challenged. Pogonology is the study of beards, by the way. Gentlemen, I can recommend it. The rabbis say that ultra-Orthodox Jews, you should not shave the fringes or the corners of your beard. You should not shave your side locks. But my wife prefers to kiss me without the beard. So in Israel, I'm an ultra-Orthodox looking Jew, and I'm following a Hudson Taylor principle of looking like people and dressing like people to relate to people where they are. But here I'm a good Reformed Jew, and therefore we shave. But my time in Israel was amazing because I met so many people who were searching right where they are. You don't abandon your culture when you become a follower of the Messiah. In fact, Jesus sets us free to be all that we're meant to be, and whatever our background. So I met this friend and I met others who were searching because they'd never heard this message before. Forget Billy Graham. Forget the Christian jargon. What does it mean to someone who's never heard this message before? How do we explain it to our friends in Finchley High Road when all they know of religion is people trying to behave in a religious way or they don't like what they see in the press? So the word being born again in Greek, genethe anothen. Let's say that together. Some of us speak Genesis is the beginning, anothen, from above or from within. It's difficult to know. And that's what happens when you and I become disciples of Jesus. Something happens from above, God comes into our hearts, and something happens from within. We make a new change, a new beginning. We turn away from the old things in our lives and look to the new. But for Nicodemus, who spoke Hebrew as his first language, Beria Chadasha. Can we say that? Beria Chadasha. Now, in the beginning, God created. That's the Hebrew. Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. One of my students, it wasn't clear, mispronounced the first word, and instead of Bereshit bara, it was Bereksit bara. So Brexit could be the first word in the Bible. Even, these are bad jokes, even before there was darkness and chaos, there was Brexit. But that's not the right way to pronounce it. It's Bereshit, not Bereksit, but you will remember that. Yeah. So Bereshit, in the beginning, bara, God made something brand new that hadn't been there before. And a beria chadasha, let's say that, chadasha with a ch. Mind your neighbor's neck in front of you. Chadesh, Chadesh, Chadesh Yameinu Ki Kedem, we say at Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. Renew us, renew us, renew our days as of days of old. In the beginning, God made and then renewed, and we need to be made and renewed, or we cannot know God's rule where God is in charge. And so Nicodemus, he said, well, I've already been born. So how can I go back into my mother's womb? But actually, in Jewish life, this is quite a common phrase. Beria chadasha, you can be born again at least 6 times. Did you know that? If you were here in the 70s, you might have heard me preaching on this a long time ago, but most of you are new faces. 6 times, according to the rabbis, you could be born again, and Nicodemus has done 4 out of 6 of them. The first time is when you're born, and you have your bris, your brit milah, your circumcision. The next time, who's this lady here? The last Trump, Melania Trump. And the interesting thing about Melania Trump, like Marilyn Monroe, like Sammy Davis Jr., like a few others, she was born as a non-Jew, a Gentile, and she converted to Judaism, like Bill Clinton's daughter, Chelsea Clinton, as well. So maybe if you're the daughter of a president, you have to become a Jew. I don't know. But according to the rabbis, when a non-Jew became a Jew, which for a man involves circumcision, for a woman and a man, a baptism, a ritual bath in what we call a mikveh, and at the time of Jesus, you brought sacrifice into the temple, you were born again. But Nicodemus doesn't need to because he's Jewish. The next way that Nicodemus could be born again, but wasn't very keen on it, was when a man from the house of David is crowned king over the people of Israel. And the first song I learnt in Hebrew school, David Melech Israel, hi, hi, v'kayam, David Melech Israel, hi, hi, v'kayam. I won't bore you with my singing. It's a catchy tune. Thank you. Oh, there you are. Thank you, Henry. What a blessing you have, Henry and Jane. Yeah. David is the king of Israel. He lives, he will rise, or he will live again. And when a Jewish person from the tribe of Judah was crowned king, they're told that the rabbi said they're born again. But of course, the Romans are in control. Anyone who sets themselves up on the throne, they're not going to last very long. And Nicodemus is not volunteering to be crowned king. But what Nicodemus has done is he's had his bar mitzvah. At the age of 13, a Jewish boy and girls now, at the age of 12. Has anybody been to a bar mitzvah, by the way, or had Jewish friends? Yeah, it's a great party, great food. Everyone says mazel tov, and you celebrate what the mother has been preparing for 13 years. Which is why when we ask the question, did Jesus have a bar mitzvah, the answer is probably not. Because what mother wouldn't want to be present at their son's bar mitzvah? He's in the temple asking questions, and they're asking him questions. But the bar mitzvah was probably not in practice at that time. But today, when you are 13 and you're a Jewish boy, 12 a Jewish girl, you become bar mitzvah, you're born again. Nicodemus, been there, done it, got the T-shirt. Are you with me so far? Yes. Now, I don't know how you feel about marriage. All I've learned in my 32 years of marriage is that men are different to women. And women are even more different to men. I still can't make my wife a proper cup of tea. I put the milk here, the sugar here, the tea bag there, the hot water there. I still get it wrong. She gets it wrong sometimes as well. But for Nicodemus and for Jewish life, if you are married, you are in a transformed state. And you are born again. And Nicodemus is a leader, he's a Pharisee, he's a rabbi, he's married. And of course, under the chuppah, the marriage counter, marriage canopy, the husband will stamp on a piece of glass the last time the man gets to put his foot down. I've learned that the secret of life, of married life, is two words. Yes, dear. And the only way to fight is not to fight. But marriage is a born-again experience. I don't know if you'd bear me out with that. Nicodemus has been there. He's married. And not only that, he is ordained as a rabbi. This is the fifth way, if you're following me. And I'm happy to give you the PowerPoint or the sermon outline later if you give me your email address. The fifth way of being born again, a new creation, a Briah Chadashah, is to be ordained as a rabbi, a teacher. Now, the word rabbi is from rav, which means exalted. Rav lohoshia, exalted in salvation. Ravi is my exalted one, my rabbi, or my teacher. And Jesus says, call no man rabbi, because actually we're all to be taught by God. And I would say that Jesus is my rabbi, but I don't really use the term very much. According to the Jewish tradition, if a rabbi is ordained to teach the law, the Torah, they are born again. And that's what Nicodemus has experienced. And then a fifth way when a rabbi becomes the head of a training college for rabbis. Now, just down the road in Hendon, you have Jews College, or the London School of Jewish Studies. Just down the road in East Finchley, we have Leo Beck College for the training of liberal and reform rabbis. Where you have two Jews, you have three opinions. Lots of colleges for training rabbis. My cousin trained at one rabbi. My other cousin trained to be a reform rabbi. Another cousin, Orthodox rabbis. When you become the head of a training college of rabbis, you know, one fool can ask more questions than 100 wise men can answer. So you are there in the seat of training and you're supposed to give the answers. Here's a friend of mine, I'll call him Herschel, it's not his real name. One of the best ways to make friends with Jewish people is on EasyJet. Has anybody been to Israel? Because you get 4.5 hours of sitting next to people. Has anybody here got any Jewish friends, by the way? Yeah. Has anybody not got any Jewish friends? Let me tell you, the best Jewish friend anyone can have is Jesus. And if he's not already your friend, please don't leave here this morning without asking him to be your best friend. He's going to tell much better jokes than I can. But the rabbi here, he gets in Tel Aviv. We're on the way to Luton, 4.5 hours normally. And he's praying and praying and praying. And if you ever want to learn how to pray without ceasing, go to a synagogue. If you've never been, you won't understand a word of it to start with. But the services are long, even longer than here. But most of it is praying the Psalms. And this rabbi, he gets in, he goes, eyes down, he's praying. I'm pretending to get a bag out of my luggage locker, but I'm really taking a photo. I probably shouldn't do that, but please forgive me. And then he's reading Psalms. And I see that he's reading Psalm 51 in Hebrew. So I get out my iPad. Now, you're not supposed to use computers or iPads. But I start reading the same Psalm, Psalm 51. And he's looking at me and he's looking at his wife who's next there with the wig and the Orthodox dress. And he's going, what's going on? And we start this amazing conversation. How can I know that my sins are forgiven? Because David, after committing adultery with Bathsheba and murdering Uriah the Hittite, prays this wonderful psalm, Psalm 51. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Then I will teach transgressors your way. And he and I are both praying this psalm. Wow. The best way to share your faith with anyone is just to sit and listen and become friends. And if you'd like a little bit of guidance on it and you want to pick up a free leaflet, some pointers on witnessing to your Jewish friends, and it's the same for anyone, just be a friend. But he's praying and I'm praying and we're talking. We have 4.5 hours talking about substitutionary atonement, which is what vicars learn. But we're really saying, how can I be right with God? And he has become, Nicodemus has become the head of a yeshiva, but he still doesn't understand what Jesus is talking about. Truly being born again is when new relationships pass away. Sorry, old relationships pass away and new relationships begin. You begin to have a personal friendship with God. God is our Savior and our Lord, but he wants to be our friend. You get into this new state of being where your sins are forgiven. Somebody was saying to me, which is your favorite 10 commandments just before the service? And the answer is, I've broken them all. And not just 10, but 613. That's the Jewish number. But of that, I know that my sins are forgiven because I know Jesus died for me. And I join a new family, the family of God. And I become a disciple. Now, Nicodemus doesn't understand this. He's never heard it before. He hasn't been to a Billy Graham meeting. He hasn't read one of George Verwer's books. He hasn't even been to St. Barnabas. So how does Jesus explain it? He says it's like the wind. The wind blows where it will. You cannot trap the wind. You cannot tie it down. The wind does what it wants. Sometimes it's so powerful, a mighty rushing wind. Sometimes it's so quiet and gentle, a gentle breeze. And he uses the picture of the wind to speak of the Ruach, the Holy Spirit. Father God, may your wind blow in this place today. Lord, may your wind blow in our hearts and minds. May it cleanse us from the cobwebs. May it take away the darkness. May it bring us into the light. Lord, will you refresh those who are weary? Lord, will you heal those who are sick? Lord, will you empower those who feel bowed down? Lord, will you strengthen those who are tired? Lord, will you send your wind? That's what Jesus is talking about. And of course, for Nicodemus, he can't but imagine the valley of the dry bones in Ezekiel chapters 36 to 39. Where these dry bones in a desolate place are, look like they're dead, and the wind comes and blows. And Jesus is using such a creative way of communicating because he doesn't just talk about the wind. He talks about snakes. And again, Nicodemus remembers the serpents in the wilderness when the Israelites are wandering in the desert 40 years in Sinai. And they are afflicted by a plague of serpents because they've disobeyed God. And what does Moses do? He takes the very picture of a serpent and places it on the pole, his bronze serpent. And if they just look at the bronze serpent, they will be saved from the snake bites. Now, this is not a standard evangelistic method. I have to tell you this. I normally use other ways of explaining it, but for Nicodemus, it makes sense. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so all those Israelites who are being bitten to death by snakes, if they put their trust in the serpent that was raised up, would be saved. I've just come back from Vienna. I had an amazing meeting with Roman Catholic friends and Jewish believers in Jesus. And we had a meeting with the Cardinal of Vienna, and he received us in a very interesting room. It was the room where the Nazi party had forced the Cardinal to agree to the German army coming into Austria. And the Cardinal at the time realized that this was a big mistake, and he did make a mistake. And he eventually said, "I'm sorry, this was a mistake. And I don't agree with this now." And the Hitler Youth Group came into the palace. They ransacked the palace. They threw the cardinal out of the window. They deported many of the people supporting him. And they went to the picture of Jesus on the wall. I have a picture of it on my phone. And they slashed it. Jesus is the one who was slashed because of the sin of our human world. And the bishop after them said, "We're not even going to cover up this picture or repair it. We're going to allow this picture of Jesus to continue with tears down the side, because it shows us that Jesus was lifted up on the cross because of our sins. And instead of the snakes biting us, Jesus is the one who died for our sins." Jesus uses these two pictures with Nicodemus to say, this is how you get born again, Nicodemus. You have to receive the Holy Spirit. You have to put your faith in Jesus, the one who is crucified for you. My time has gone on, but I just wanted to close by inviting you to also pray for the work that we've been doing in Jews for Jesus, and a short report on some of the things that have been happening. I'm going to jump through my story, but if you want it, it's in the free book. And this is about what we've been doing in Jerusalem. Then I'm going to pray.
Jerusalem is the heart and soul of Israel. The Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It's where Jesus laid down his life for his people and rose from the grave. And it's there Jesus will one day return to reign forever. As the faith capital of the world, Jerusalem is constantly in the news. On the ground, it's a place of incredible need. Less than 1% of Israelis know their Messiah. They desperately need to hear the gospel. And as one of the poorest cities in Israel, Jerusalem is a place of great physical need. That's why, in spring of 2018, the Ministry of Jews for Jesus will launch an outreach to the people of Jerusalem. It won't be easy. This is the most dangerous campaign we've ever undertaken. Due to the sensitive nature of this project, don't share the contents of this video. Our plan is simple. We're going to tell them about the Messiah and provide the practical comfort found in the gospel. We're sending out missionaries who will reach out to a variety of Jewish people in Jerusalem. Using new approaches, as well as established evangelistic strategies, we'll share the hope of the Jewish Messiah. We also want to help in tangible ways, like feeding the hungry, caring for the elderly, and cleaning parks so children have a safe place to play. By serving the people of Jerusalem, we not only show them the love of Jesus in action, we establish lasting relationships that can lead to life-changing gospel encounters. But we need your help. Stand with us in prayer as we relentlessly pursue God's plan for the salvation of the Jewish people.
Consider. Let me just give you the report on this meeting.
I'm Dan Sered, and I'm the Israel Director of Jews for Jesus. We've mapped out Israel. We've noticed that there are 12 different geographic regions, and this is by far the most exciting outreach that we've employed here in Israel.
We're here in Jerusalem with the university and yeshiva team.
Brought tons of cases of bottled water and hand them out. Been able to talk to a lot of people.
What's happening here is an event that we've called Art Never Stops, and it's a kind of jam, painting and sculpting.
It's really fun to get a group of people together and see how people really bond and build connections.
We have been in the muck and mire of this little river, just cleaning out trash to just love on the people of Israel.
And the salvation stories of what God has worked during this month-long campaign. Russian speakers still are the most open to the gospel.
We're going to take you in and see a house we've been working on. It's a woman who's working as a prostitute, and as part of our team to reach out to the homeless, drug addicted, and prostitutes. We're just fixing up her home to share the love of Christ.
We're reaching out to Orthodox women, and we're reaching into a community that for many years and in many ways has been unreached with the gospel.
What does Mashiach do then? If we all sin, we need help. Mashiach, you're praying for it, is the same one that Christians are praying for, him for return.
How could we really impact a larger percent of the population? So we began to pray together and toss around ideas and do some design thinking.
A bunch of guys' teams and girls' teams are competing. Never would have thought it happened this fast.
Selling some of our handmade items and then talk about who we are and things like that.
Looking for opportunities to engage the community. We're hoping to see these kinds of stories of change all across the city.
So this is the ongoing work, and I'm so grateful for your prayers and to be part of a supporting church like St. Bee's. But we're all called to make disciples of all nations. And you can't enter the kingdom of God in any other way but to be born again. So if being born once hasn't given you much satisfaction, what Nicodemus discovers is a whole new start. Remember my people Israel. Brethren, Paul says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. And we are to preach the gospel to all nations. And if you have good news for Jewish people, you have good news for everybody else. Shalom and thank you. Thank you.